Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church. We are in that portion of our service to you, our service for God, that portion we refer to as Sunday school for our learning. And I mean that when I say our learning, because I learn a great deal as I go through these studies and then bring them to you. Learning even as I'm going through these messages with you. Today, we want to deal with the word preserved. Preserved. And as is my custom, this key word, preserved, and its like words, its synonyms, which help to define our key word, these will all be taken from just one Hebrew root word and one Greek root word. Now, I do that to give me a greater assurance of being as accurate as I can when I deal with the Holy Scriptures and relay them to you. The term preserved, when dealing with this one Hebrew word and this one Greek word, preserved means to hedge about. Build a hedge around, guard, keep, protect. Now listen to this next one. Save, not as in the salvation of the soul, but to save as in to store up, preserved, to store up as in saving things of value, keeping things important to yourself, preserving them. Further, preserved means to watch over, to reserve, preserve and reserve, synonymous. To reserve is to put aside for particular attention. Reserve, that putting aside is referred to as a reservation. And of course, when we think about the word preserved, we might use other forms of that word, and we will today. Preserve, preserving, preserver, preservation. Listen now, all human beings who have been and those who will be have been preserved unto a final destination in eternity by God Almighty and Him alone, known to God from eternity are all His works, Acts 15:18. Known to God from eternity are all His works. Preservation is one of God's works. And this preservation by God was according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Preservation, Ephesians 1:11, was what I just read from. Yes, everyone has a reservation somewhere in eternity. And today, we want to consider the only two possibilities presenting presented in God's Word, the Bible, two possibilities for the somewhere in eternity that everyone has a reservation for. Everyone is preserved, but preserved unto what? I want to start by looking in Psalm 121. I'm going to read the entire psalm, just 8 verses. This comes from the heart, one of God's people. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Christian, you know exactly what that means. Every single day, repeatedly, we look to the Lord our God for help. He will not, He, God, will not allow your foot to be moved. Last week, we spoke about being steadfast, immovable. He, God, will not allow your foot to be moved. He, again, God, who keeps you. This is the exact same Hebrew word that we see translated preserve or keep, guard. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps, same word again, he who keeps Israel, and please, for the full meaning of that word, we now have the New Testament. When we see Israel, you be thinking of the true Israel of God, the Israel of God, the church, and not the Jewish nation. Please keep that in mind. Behold, he who keeps Israel, he who preserves Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. God's not going to go to sleep on you. He doesn't do that. It's not a part of who he is. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your protector, your preserver. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Figurative language, we're going to look at that and what it means. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. Again, think about what I said when I said that word can mean save, as in keeping you for himself. He will preserve you from all evil. Preserve you for himself. Evil will not have you. He shall preserve your soul, your very being, your individual being. Now, these things that we just looked at that I said were figurative language, none of those things are able to bring you down to damnation. God is saving you for himself, keeping you, preserving you. Psalm ends by saying this: the Lord shall preserve your going in and your, excuse me, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from them this time forth and even forevermore. Friends, all your activity will be protected. You will never finally fall away. The Lord is keeping you, preserving you, protecting you, guarding you, saving you for himself. Now, this first type of preservation we are looking at is obviously meant for Christ's church alone, both Old and New Testament saints. Did you hear what I just said? Both Old and New Testament saints. Now, if such language, when we speak of Christ's church, both Old and New Testament saints, confuses you, please listen to the following texts for our learning. And yes, again, I said our learning, both you and me. Proverbs 2:8 proclaims the Lord preserves. Proverbs, Old Testament, says that the Lord preserves the way of his saints. Now, what did we just see in Psalm 121? He preserves our going in and our coming out. I did it again. Our going out and our coming in. It means much the same, doesn't it? God preserves our way, our going out and our coming in. In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, and as you know, he was going to be put to death by stoning. Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, said this, moved by the Spirit and speaking of Moses. Stephen said this, "This is he, Moses, who was in the church in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai." That angel is none other than the angel of God's presence, as we see in Isaiah chapter 63, the angel of God's presence, the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints were found in the congregation in the wilderness. These saints and all saints, both Old Testament and New Testament saints, are distinctly described in Jude verse 1. To those who are called, says Jude as he addresses his brief letter, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father. That's where we get the word saints, from the word sanctified, set apart by God, for God, to be made holy. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved. Not only saved from our sins, but saved for God. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Saved for God as a prized possession of his love. Kept as his alone, as a special treasure. Malachi 3:17, we see God speaking, and he says, "They, the saints, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels," my jewels, his prized possession. Now, I've brought something today to read from. So good, absolutely precious, from Strong's New Concordance, and it concerns this word, jewels, that I just read from in Malachi chapter 3. This word, jewels, it's from a root word meaning to shut up. Now listen, not as in be quiet, to set aside and keep as special, to shut up away from everything else. Wealth as closely shut up. Peculiar treasure, as it is translated in the Old Testament. And the word means possession. It signifies property in the special sense of a private possession. A private possession that someone personally acquired and carefully preserved. That's what God is doing with the souls of his saints. Six times this word is used of Israel in the Old Testament. Now again, folks, may I direct your minds to the Israel of God, the church. Six times this word is used of Israel as God's personally acquired, elected, delivered from Egyptian bondage, and formed into what he wanted them to be, carefully preserved and privately possessed people. This peculiar treasure, this group of jewels that God preserves for himself. Exodus 19:5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." It goes right back to this word, jewels, and peculiar treasure. These jewels are at the center of God's delight along with Christ. Get that? The humanity of God, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. These jewels are kept as the apple of God's eye. The apple of God's eye, that means, and it literally means, the center, the middle of what delights God. And I pray that we're listening closely to this. This goes right to the heart of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 30 and 31 gives us the picture of God delighting in Christ, who is the embodiment, the personification of wisdom, as this proverb speaks of. Christ is that personification, wisdom in person. And it also speaks of this portion of Proverbs 8, speaks of Christ delighting in those given to him by the Father from among humanity. Proverbs 8, verses 30 and 31. "And I, Christ, was daily a delight, a pleasure, rejoicing always before him," God the Father, "rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight," says Christ, "my pleasure was with the sons of human beings." And of course, in line with our message today, those Christ delights in are those being kept, those being preserved as the apple of God's eye, his jewels. The people of God, recreated by God in the new birth, the apple of God's eye, his peculiar treasure, his jewels, are given another identifying name, his flock. We're familiar with that. Jeremiah spoke of that very thing some 3,000 years ago or so, Jeremiah chapter 31. I want to read from there. Jeremiah 31, verses 10 and 11. Hear the word of the Lord, O nation. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Not just the Jewish nation, but the Gentiles. And declare in the isles afar off and say, and when we see that kind of language, we're talking about the Gentiles. He who scattered Israel. Now again, may I direct your attention to the Israel of God, the church. He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, preserve him, protect him, save him as God's own, keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. We are the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. Of course, that's referring back to Israel, as Jacob was renamed Israel. And again, Israel, finally, the Israel of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Satan no longer has rule over death. God has ransomed us with the purchase price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember earlier, I said everyone has a reservation somewhere in eternity. And we've been looking at the report in the Holy Scriptures testifying to what was stated in Psalm 97:10. The Lord, He preserves the souls of His saints. The souls of those set apart by God for Himself are safe in Jesus Christ, being kept in Him, saved in Him as prized jewels are guarded in a security that cannot be penetrated, preserved for eternity, spirit, soul, and body, blameless in Christ Jesus. That's where we're being kept. That's where we're being saved. United to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, what of those who are not united to Christ by faith, a faith given to God's elect? These other ones are those addressed by Christ, as is recorded in John 5:40. Oh my goodness, this is a most, most revealing scripture. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. These are not the saints. These are not the elect. These are the reprobate. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. The life spoken of here is eternal life, which is an intimate, personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, through the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. Read John 17:3. These people that Christ speaks to here in John 5:40 have no interest in coming to Christ by faith because they love the darkness. They hate the light. The Bible makes that clear. And the light, the personification of the light, is Jesus Christ. He is that light. And I'm going to be using some language found in the scripture. I'm not just pounding this off the top of my head. I've actually written these words down from the Holy Scriptures. These give us a glimpse of what sin has done to humanity. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderer, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. I can stop right there and for a moment say, just folks, look around your very country. This is traitors, headstrong, haughty or arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They desire the pleasures of sin for a season rather than knowing God. Look around. Having eyes full of adultery. And cannot cease from sin. Having a heart trained in covetous practices. Cursed children. Fornicators. Worshippers of idols. And oh folks, my goodness. In today's world, there are so many types of idols that are worshipped by humanity. Unending. Speaking evil of what they do not know. Just watch the news, folks. Anywhere. Speaking evil of what they do not know. Corrupt.
Corrupt? Oh my goodness. Government?
Grumblers, complainers, they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. That's in the Bible. Now, if that doesn't sound like politicians today in our country and hirelings in pulpits, then I don't know where in the world I'm living today. Liars. Now that list falls far short of all the scriptural evidences of sin and sinners that are found in the Bible, but gives us a glimpse of the profile of those whose behavior puts them at war with the one true God. Friends, that's a war which is absolutely impossible for sinners to win. No, don't listen to when folks tell you, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to do. You'll never even begin to approach victory over the one true God. He will have the last word. Now, Christians, let us be very careful to remember who we were. Except for God's sovereign grace, those of us who are saved today would still be in our sins, even as the rest of humanity. But as for those who remain in their sin, refusing the salvation found in Christ alone, that's what they're doing, there is another final reservation. Both Peter and Jude, and I want us to pay close attention to this because I think we may miss something here. Both Peter and Jude were precisely used by God to record the same fate of the ungodly. Now, I say precisely because these two scriptures are exactly the same. And they come from Peter and Jude. The words are exactly the same, found in both of their writings. 2 Peter 2:17 and Jude 13. And of course, when I say Jude 1, Jude 13, there's just one chapter, the way the Bible is set apart today. But both of those texts say this: for whom is reserved, kept in store for them, the blackness of darkness forever. Now, listen to me. That doesn't say that they are reserved. It says the blackness of darkness is reserved for them. Now, that's what the text says. Think about that. You may have made a reservation for dinner somewhere, and there's a table reserved for you. Well, these folks have a realm in eternity reserved for them. And God is going to see that that reservation is kept. Make no mistake, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now there you see those outside of Christ being reserved unto something. And that will be the punishment for the day of judgment. No one's going to miss that day. Not Christians, nor those who are not Christians. We're all going to be there at that last day. Revelation 22:11. The time is at hand. The one who is unjust, let that one be unjust still. Unjust means unrighteous. Exactly the same exactly the same Greek word that is translated both ways. Unjust, unrighteous. Same exact word. The one who is filthy, let that one be filthy still. The one who is righteous, let that one be righteous still. You could translate that one, the one who is just. Let that one be just still. exactly the same Greek word. The one who is holy. Let that one be holy still. You see, that's the way it's going to be on the last day. Won't be any changing at that time. You're going to remain in the state that you're found, in the condition that you're found on that day. I close with this. Where do you fit in that scripture? You are in that scripture somewhere. Unjust, filthy, righteous, holy. Where do you fit in that scripture? Final text. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Bless God for this, folks. We owe him everything. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is that living hope. And we have a hope to live with him forever, an expectation to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. Folks, that inheritance, that heavenly realm, that eternal union with Christ is reserved in heaven for you. Oh, bless God. And you who have that reserved for you are kept. That word reserved and the word kept are the same, from the same Greek root word. Who are kept, who are preserved, who are guarded, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. We've not only been saved from sin, but we're being saved as a peculiar treasure, as a precious jewel in the eyes of God. We're being preserved for God.